WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into one of the great months, the great weeks of 25 years of having WNST. Back in May of 1998, when I found this crazy little radio station off the beaten path in Towson and thought, I'm going to invest my whole life in that. The Orioles were just fresh off the ALCS 2 years in a row. Football team, we had Jim Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh, was involved at that point, who I wrote about this weekend. If you go check that out in our Dear John and Dear Steve letters this week at Baltimore Positive. But I bought the station in the summer of 1998 thinking, like, there would be plenty of Septembers and Octobers where they would intersect, where there would be a game on a Sunday afternoon at Fenway Park in a pennant race where you needed to pay attention and a rain delay and all that. Dennis Colatsos joins us now. He is he's a subscriber to the WNST Tech Service at Coons Baltimore Ford. And between injuries, rain delays, what's going on here? This is as good as it gets from a heartbeat and in the veins of a sports fan. What we have this week: road trip to Cincinnati, 1-0, bad injuries, Lamar Jackson, first place team, Rays in town. We're a real big league sports team town this week, Dennis, aren't we?
We are. Orioles dropped one recently, ended their streak, right, their winning streak, and the Ravens game was very uneven with several dark clouds over it, all the injuries, the J.K. Dobbins injury in particular, Nestor. Extremely heartbreaking to me personally on a number of levels. I was a high school running back, a college running back. I know what running backs go through, and he lobbied so hard for a contract extension, and my heart goes out to him and his families. I know how hard he worked in the offseason to get himself right for the rigors of a 17-game season. It was heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, and you know, on television, the play happened, then Hill's in, and then he's gone, and you're like, oh, my. Just the whole notion of how rough this game is.
Oh.
And the look on Harbaugh's face after the game, and Patrick Queen at the podium.
I broke down. I don't mind sharing it with you because I was there on the Ravens side, and I saw him when he got hurt. I saw when he got up, and I saw him when the trainers came over, and he put his arms around him, and he was limping. My heart broke. My stomach, I mean, I felt like vomiting.
Well, and I guess for all these guys that don't get contracts, this is what we've spent more time this year talking about that topic once Lamar got signed than anything. I mean, Josh Jacobs' agent is a dear friend of mine. We had him out on the Crab Cake Tour. Go get The Godfather on Wednesday, by the way, from Rick over there at Spirits West in Baltimore. But I don't know that we've seen a game like this where you start the season, and other than Lamar, to go to bed Sunday night and not know what Ronnie Stanley's up to or Tyler Linderbaum, obviously they're going to lose Marcus Williams for a long period of time, if at all, for the season. Dobbins is gone for the year. There's only, and I wrote this in my columnist, there's only so much of this you can take before your ceiling starts to drop as far as how good you can be.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Nestor. It was just heartbreaking to watch the guys go down one at a time as it was. And the game itself was uneven. It looked very much, it had a feel to me, Ness, as a preseason game. The offense was unsettled, and they were very fortunate that we're going up against a rookie quarterback. The defense looked good, but that was expected, wasn't it?
I wrote about Harbaugh this week, and I wrote a lot of good things about him, and a lot of really
awful things. I read your letter, by the way. I read it from beginning to end. I did.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to say about it, interject, and then we'll move on, or no?
Well, I think the only thing that I learned was that about your conflict with Chad Steele, and I guess what ignited the whole thing, maybe it was lost upon me about any comments you made about his sister, whatever. So, but it looked to
I've
me
never
very
said anything about his sister, and I would say that, I mean, to anybody anywhere. So, like, I liked Sage. I didn't have any problem with Sage.
I've never heard of that before anywhere, to be frank with you.
It is what it is. But Harbaugh's face in that post-game press conference on Sunday was of not just sadness for Dobbins, but like true concern, knowing there's 16 more train wrecks coming, right? Knowing that he's been through this. The last time I was with John, when the thing I wrote about with his wife and I at the last time I was at the pool with him a year and a half ago, they were fresh off of Lamar getting hurt the first time, right? And it's all he and Eric talked to me about was the fact that we had a team that was good enough and we get injured and we can't be good. I mean, and that's not even excuse talk. That's reality. And I even said to John, like, I get it, man. Like, you don't have to sell it to me. I watch the games. You can plan all you want. But if they're going to play the season without Tyler Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley and J.K. Dobbins and Mark Andrews and Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Williams, if they're going to play many games without those guys or those guys of that caliber, and we haven't talked about anybody else getting hurt, right? Because that's going to happen too. But if they go six games without Linderbaum and four games without Stanley and, God forbid, Lamar, right? Like, say Flowers has a hammy and isn't himself. I mean, they're going to have this is the worst case scenario for them in week one, is that things are already unraveling from what they want to do on their offense. The things you want to do on your offense, you need continuity. You just do. I mean, they don't practice enough. And this is my point with John. John said something at halftime to Aditi Kinkabwala, who did the game. I love Aditi. Said something like, well, we had a lot of penalties in the first half, but like, we haven't practiced. We haven't played. They haven't played. Okay, so John screams off season about trying to get the guys in the building more and more and more. He sent me that text about Lamar when he was out a year and a half ago, which I alluded to all summer last year because you and I are friends. They don't have the off season. When Luke comes on today, Luke is on the air saying, I'm out there all summer. They don't hit anybody. It's all scud. They don't know how to tackle. They don't really tackle until this point because they don't want any of this stuff happening. And John bubble wraps the team, right? Like, literally. And that's not his style. He's more, you know, like, but he bubble wraps the team because of what happened to Dobbins 2 years ago, because of what happened to anybody or everybody, and they don't play. And then they go out, and luckily for them that they drew the JV, right? I mean, they didn't need Mark Andrews and won by 16 points, right? They didn't need Ronnie Stanley at the end and won by 16 points. They didn't need Marlon Humphrey and won by. But, man, John knows they can't win a Super Bowl without all the names I gave you. As he's standing there right now, if he had to go play for his life tomorrow, and they will on Sunday against Cincinnati, and Cincinnati stunk and all that, but they cannot win without these guys. These names we're talking about, if you take them out, they're not going to be playing in January. They're just not.
Well, on the flip side of the coin, Mike Tomlin, who did play his starters all throughout the preseason, they opened up at home with a 30-70 loss to the 49ers. And this is and I don't know what the injury report looks like from the Steelers, but they. So I don't have an answer for you, Ness.
I don't know the belief. I'm not picking on John at all.
I mean, what I'm saying to you is,
I don't know the right way to do this.
So Mike Tomlin said, you know, generally speaking, when you have a fight coming up, if you're a boxer, you scrimmage. That was his thought process. That was his thought process. You train. The Bengals go to Cleveland, get their butts kicked, right? With Joe Burrow coming off that big contract. Still, though, you know, overcoming that calf injury. It's a week-to-week league. Week one is a gross overreaction. You hate to see injuries happen, Ness, but look, they'll tee it up and figure it out. Hopefully they get Mark Andrews back next week because he was noticeably – his absence was notable during the game. I mean, the middle of the field, they had no one going over the middle. And he's a big piece of who Lamar Jackson looks to.
I'm going to be on your show Thursday, and I do a lot more talking on your show. What did you think of the offense? I mean, what?
Again, they were out of sync. The scheme. I don't know. They didn't run the ball well. And let's talk about that. The offensive line is a different scheme. This was a run blocking, mauling, run first offensive line. Now they're asked to pass block, and Lamar Jackson looked like a cat on a hot tin roof. He never really set his feet. Only a couple times in the second half, and he had some success when he did that. But he was dancing around back there. Will Anderson Jr., the mercurial rookie from Alabama, was putting a lot of pressure from both sides coming off the edge. The offense was uneven, but you expect that. It's going to take 3 to 4 to 5 weeks for this offense to find its rhythm, is my belief.
Well, it doesn't find its rhythm if the center's not there, and if left tackle's not there. We know the running back's not going to be there. The tight end hasn't been there.
Every team, like, every team has injuries. Every team.
Well,
they're not
in judging it for where it is, number eight, we expect him now. Not we expected before he got paid. Like, he's the special guy. He's going to get in the phone booth. He's their best running back. He was their best running back even when Dobbins was healthy the other day, right? He's their best running back. So, and he's not running the ball, and they don't really, for all the above reasons, don't want to design plays.
Now, look, I was screaming for him to get down when he was running downfield. Get down. The last thing he needs is an injury to Lamar Jackson. He can carry this team. And there were, look, there are some elements there that are exciting. Zay Flowers really flashed well. Bateman was able to get through a game without getting injured. We saw Odell Beckham Jr. late in the game. So he does have some weapons. Mark Andrews comes back, and he still has Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill showed a lot of burst. But it's going to come down to the offensive line. Can they open up holes for these running backs? And more importantly, can they keep Lamar Jackson clean? Can they keep him upright going forward?
Well, they played a crappy team.
They did.
You know, and the Texans controlled the ball more than they wanted them to. But I had asked all offseason, and I'll gauge this every week, and I'm not overreacting about any of this, but Lamar threw the ball 22 times. Incredibly efficient, 17 of 22, right? I mean, he threw the ball 22 times. And they ran the ball, let's see here, 14, 22, 32 times, right? So all of this offseason, all of the pregame shows, Zay Flowers, they love him. And Odell Beckham's resurrecting his career. And Mark Andrews is going to be a big part of this. And my, they have Aguilar and they have Bateman was their guy this time. He's the number one pick. How many times are they going to throw the ball? And when they do, how can they do it effectively? And to your point, who's going to protect Lamar in all of these cases when they have dudes like this kid looked like a dude the other day, right? Mismatches, right? Against dude. Older guys, right? Moses getting beaten around, Morgan getting beaten around the edge, old deal holding, jumping off, all of that stuff. Stanley getting his face up, all of that. They threw the ball 22 times. There were 17 guys that got to catch footballs, 17 passes out there for all of these superstars. I don't know that they ever really, as much as we talked about the wide receivers, you'll see them and they'll flash, but I just don't think this is going to be a passing offense. I don't believe that. And not even without Dobbins. And I think this really changes this week what Monken might want to do when you start taking 14, 18, 20 carries a week away from Dobbins.
Yeah, well, again, also the flow of the game, the tempo of the game, the Ravens got a little conservative in the second half. They had a lead. They had the turnover deep in their own territory, right? So they kind of packed that in the second half, I thought, and let their defense win the game. It was the right strategy, and look, they go up to Cincinnati. If they fall behind by two touchdowns, they're going to have to pass. I don't think this is going to be a fast a pass-first offense. I never did, but I did think there'll be more balance between the running game and the passing game. And again, I don't think a one-week snapshot is a fair assessment of where this offense is going to be going forward.
Lamar, 17 to 22, a buck 69. Didn't really run much, ran one time. You know, looked like Lamar for a minute. Got sacked more than we want him to get sacked, quite frankly. We don't think he should get sacked because he's that kind of quarterback who shouldn't get sacked, right? And sacking means you ate the ball. So you couldn't get away and you couldn't get rid of the ball. Shame, shame, shame. I mean, that like, and then kicking the ball around. So we'll beat Joe Burrow up all week. We'll let people at Cincinnati beat him up this week, and he can smoke his stogie this week if they're 1-1. But they got a chance to make them 0-2, win on the road, put them 0-2 in the division, put some space between them, worry about the Browns later. The Steelers don't look like much, at least out of the gate. What dare I say I would bury the Steelers in week one? Because they lose week one a lot. And we win week one a lot here. We're always 1-0. Like, that's a John Harbaugh. God bless John, right? No matter whether you play a big game or a small game, that you, other than that Denver thing that I brought up the other day. But, you know, for me with Lamar, kind of stunk Sunday. I mean, just giving him a report card, it's a D+ because you can't kick the ball around.
But what were your expectations, though, coming with him coming in the game? No preseason games, no real live action. So what? I didn't have high expectations in terms that this offense was going to put up 40 points against the Texans. I expected an uneven performance, and I got that, which was really punctuated by the injuries, right? And accentuated by the injuries.
Well, there was a lot of uneven. The uneven is they were bad down in distances because of the penalties. So that. You can be great on offense, but if you jump, it's over, right? Like, you're wasting, you're running in the mud. And then they didn't have Andrews. They lost Dobbins early. That was emotional for them, all of that.
For the most part, defenses are always ahead of the offense. They're ahead of the offense during preseason. They're ahead of the offense the first three or four games in the regular season. It just takes more, it's more of a timing thing with the offense, more consistency. Defense is more instinctive than offense is. So it's not really surprising that we saw what we saw Sunday.
Zay Flowers, you know,
Look great.
4 months
He
of talking about him, and like that's that guy there.
He's a
they found
baller.
something. They
Well,
found
they also,
something there.
but the sad thing is for me, Nestor, the disturbing thing was they kept forcing the ball to him late. Okay, you do it a couple of times and do something else with the kid. Send him downfield, sell him a crossing routes, have somebody do a pick play for him. But to keep forcing the ball to him, keep handing it off, I don't think that's a great strategy going forward either. You don't want to make him
Turning
too
him into a
predictable.
running back.
Yeah, you don't want to make him too predictable. Get him downfield. And I think they will.
Dennis is here. He will be here on Thursday and again on Sunday morning. I listened to your show Sunday morning. I went over to a little morning yoga before the game because, you know, I wouldn't want to be caught drinking a beer in the tailgate lot or anything before the game. I might not get my press pass back. But I was out listening to you do fantasy sports. Dennis does Sunday mornings here. He does Thursday afternoon from 3 until 5. He also will sell you a vehicle, or service your vehicle, and treat you right over Coons Baltimore Ford. What's going on the lot? I don't ask you that much. I mean, you run ads here, and I appreciate that. But I post-Labor Day, kids are back at school, but I know you got some deals out there.
Oh, we got great deals. We're still have our great Labor Day specials going on right at Nestor. Lots of 0% financing out there, 1.9%. And we have over 200 brand new vehicles in stock. We have a lot more than most. We have over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock as well. So our selection, our inventory drives a lot of traffic, and we do save our customers thousands of dollars every single day.
Anything you want to say defensively on the pass rush against a very, very pedestrian offensive line, a rookie quarterback, rookie coach on the right, like all of that. It was a confidence builder.
It was. I tell you what, I like what Jadeveon Clowney did. I thought he was a dude on the defensive line. He did a great job. Always very athletic, as we've seen in the past. He got caught up inside a couple of times. Ojabo had the turnover there. But I thought the big story, once again, was Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, particularly. Roquan Smith's a real deal. The guy's just he's amazing. I had the privilege of meeting him a couple of weeks ago. I got my brand new Roquan Smith jersey, and that's my guy right there. And as long as they have him in the middle, and as long as the Ravens have Lamar on the other side, this team can do some damage to a point when it comes to injuries. They can overcome things. They're built that way.
Do you wear that zero Roquan out on the showroom floor at Coons Baltimore Ford
I
and
do.
say 0% financing?
Purple Fridays, I do. Yep.
Is that
Had it
yours?
on Fridays the last 2 weeks. And I also wear it on Sundays at the ball game, which is a lot of fun. It was I thought they showed up well. I thought that Mike McDonald called a good game, and I thought the team executed against a rookie quarterback about as well as it could be expected, given the fact that they do have a lot of moving pieces back there and missing pieces as well.
You know, anytime I have Brandon Stokely on, and I want to give a shout out because I was awake late the other night and I never watch TV. You know this, right? The Bullies of Baltimore came on, and it just like it came to me. I put the TV on and it just was on. I put it on and I heard Kevin Burns' voice, and I'm like, I was writing all this ish about Harbaugh, and I'm like, is Kevin calling me? You know, what's going on here? And I'm watching the Bullies of Baltimore the other day, and Brandon Stokely, whenever I have him on, he always. Yeah, you know, he has this beautiful set with the football and the ball he caught in the Super Bowl and the Colts trophy and all that stuff behind him and his thing. And he always says, I'm in the house that Peyton built. Peyton built my house.
Peyton
and I'm
built
thinking
his
to
house.
Myself, Roquan Smith's going to build Patrick Queen a house, right? Like, Patrick
he
Queen's
is.
Going to get paid after this, right?
You know,
somebody's,
I thought the same thing.
Like Orlando Brown, somebody's going to think he's a left tackle. Somebody's going to pay Patrick Queen to come and do – that job might be the Bears, but
let's hope so.
But Patrick Queen is going about this the right way.
The right way, he is. Unless he gets hurt, God forbid, like J.K. Dobbins, and then that would be the wrong way. I got to say one thing: they have the a lot of the former Ravens there, Ring of Honor inductees, etc. When Todd Heap came out of the tunnel, man, I lost it. I flashed back to this tragedy with his daughter, and man, my heart goes out to that guy and his family.
He's such a beautiful guy.
Oh,
Todd
my
Heap's
God.
One
it's
of,
just, I started, I mean, I lost it. I did.
He's one of the really good people. I didn't know what they were doing. I saw pictures after halftime, and Luke's like, 25 years celebration of the stadium. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm up with 25 year celebrations. I'm doing one of those myself.
You and them at T-Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it's fine. But Saturday, about 5 o'clock, my phone goes off. I look down. It's Ovie Mihaly. He's looking for a soft crab sandwich in Baltimore. So see, while I'm being thrown out of the team by the team, I have half the alumni in town. I'm the first guy they reach when they come to. Ovi Mihaly and I went back and forth 20 times Saturday. He wound up going to Tio Pepe's because he was staying up in Mount Vernon. He had like eight people.
Wow.
He's like, I can't get in an Uber and go to Costas. No offense. Just can't do it tonight. Got to stay downtown. So Ovi Mihaly reached to me, and I saw a whole bunch of players. So
you've been good. You've been good to a lot of people, Nestor. Not just Ravens players. You really have.
Well,
and that's to me, that's your legacy. You know, I got to tell you, that's your legacy.
We'll
you've
see.
You've been good to a lot of people, and I don't know of anyone that you've hurt. That's the other part of it. People ask me about you all the time.
Look, I don't have any time for that. My wife is
amazed
by that. My wife would say, we've been married 20 years, and the one thing, if I die tomorrow, she'd say, he never spent 1 minute trying to get even with anybody because he just didn't. Like,
no, you're
people
not
think
that
I'm
guy.
getting even with John Harbaugh.
You're not
No,
that
no,
guy.
No. I was lied to, and all of this went on in private. So if anybody's pissed about it now, they should have been pissed that I didn't go crazy. You knew about it because you and I talk twice a week. You knew all of this stuff was going on behind the scenes, and I sat on it as a journalist being bullied and intimidated for my livelihood. They're trying to, like, and I stayed quiet for a year and a half. I'm not trying to get even. I'm trying to make sure that if I die tomorrow, you know the truth. That's what this is about. This is about just setting the record straight for Mr. Coons, for you, for anybody that's ever supported me that asked me what I did wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I wrote a nice note to the owner, and I sat with the president, and I sat with the general manager, and I sat with, if somebody has a problem with your mechanic, they go to the boss, and then the boss comes to you, and then you sit with the customer and say, we're going to try to settle this, or you're just going to have to go to another dealership, but we're going to shut the door. We're not going to do this on Twitter. We're going to shut the door and say, did I give you a bad ride? Did I give you a bad experience? We don't want that at Coons, Baltimore, Ford. I don't want that at WNST. They shouldn't want that in Owings Mills. And
look, the first thing I ask people is, you know, I'm going to do all I can to make you happy. Now, do I make 100% of the people I talk to happy? Of course not. But I, more often than not, we make people happy.
I said to Steve Bisciotti and Roy, did you really want me and my wife thrown out of our seat in the upper deck? Is that
unbelievable? Unbelievable.
Did you really demand that I sit in the press box seat that they have for 30 years told me that there's a premium on those seats? And Kevin was always happy that I didn't take one of them. Right. And then to say, to breathe the same oxygen as the coach, you have to X, Y, and Z after 27 years of doing this. It was offensive to me. It is offensive to me. It should be offensive to my audience that I'm locked out. And it should be offensive to my audience that loves me or even hates me and Luke, that we only have one reporter that can cover both of these teams this week. So Dennis supports us. He's a Coons Baltimore Ford. He'll be here on Thursday. Just to wrap things up with the Orioles, you're going Thursday, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Excited?
Very excited. Yeah, how can I not be excited? Big series against the Rays. When's the last time we had a big series like this late in the season?
1979.
A meaningful game at Camden Yards, right? So this is a meaningful series, and I'm very fortunate and blessed that I'm able to go there.
I'm fortunate and blessed that I got this jersey and I have great sponsors that would allow me to spend $99 on the internet. Have you seen this one yet?
I have not seen that one yet.
You ready? You ready? You ready? Huh?
Ah.
Look at this, huh?
Get some applause here. Aparicio, yes.
This is the 79 jersey that happened to have Aparicio's name on it, which he never wore this jersey, right? This was a Doug DeSensei's era 11,
gotcha.
Right? Or even a Glenn Gulliver era, you know, but I found this on eBay. And when I looked at the size, I realized it was going to fit me and I had to have it. So I will have this on at the Nest on Friday night. We're going to be celebrating at the Baltimore Convention Center. It is the mayor's party. My friend Mac, which also my dad's name, we're going to be down at Fadley's on Friday morning. Leonard Raskin's coming by. Our friends from Coppin State, Dr. Anthony Jenkins, and Larry Stewart, head basketball coach, my old friend Stu. Fadley's on Friday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to have the Raven scratch-offs to give away. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. We have a new sponsor, Jiffy Lube, with us for the fourth quarter of the year. It hums and it's good, and they're everywhere, and you can find Jiffy Lube. And I'll be telling you more about that as well. Last but not least, columnist is up. I wrote off the game on Sunday. I'll be writing this week, and I know you're going to love this because this is your guy, Dennis. Adam Jones. I'm writing Adam Jones, a dear Adam Jones. I love you, Adam Jones. I wish I knew you better, Adam Jones. Letter this week. Is that good?
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Well, you know, Adam Jones inspired the Peter Principle, so I have to let
Yes,
him know that
yes.
this week. Sold out Friday night, black jerseys, all right?
Nice, nice.
I'll
Awesome.
be down
Can't
at the
wait.
Nest on Friday. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody this week coming back to us. It is really a sports season. I mean, we're 1-0. We got problems, but the sky's not falling, and the baseball team's almost 40 games over 500. These are really good problems to have here at WNST. I'm Nestor. He's Dennis. He'll be back on Thursday. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.